Morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here today. I'm going to speak today on a machine that bans compost and chicken litter and things. And we're pretty excited about having the first opportunity to try this on vegetables in Mississippi. Want to talk to you about my team a little bit before I go any further. Tom Way is the ag engineer at the Soil Dynamics Lab over in Alabama with USDA ARS. And I didn't put the ARS logo on the slide, so I have to give them credit here. Haley Tualdi, he's up at Mississippi State at a USDA lab up there. And Sarah Reynolds was my student and technician who helped on the project. So we have an application machine that's capable of applying fine organic materials, and the word fine is critical here, in bands under the soil surface, like the banding we talked about earlier today. But it's been developed by the Dynamics Lab. Banding of these compost and organic materials could improve fertilizer use efficiency, which we've also talked about here today, of course, because we're not applying it to the surface. We're focusing it on a small area where the nutrient concentration stays the same. There's going to be less runoff from a situation like that in all likelihood. And all in all, it has the potential to improve the usefulness of these materials. And here I'm going to report this first test of this machine on vegetable crops. Heretofore, the group has tried it on field corn a lot and some other things, and they've used raw chicken litter. But we wanted to see how it would work for litter and compost banding in vegetable crop systems. So that was our objective, to test the ease of use and all of that and the efficacy of it on the vegetable crops. So the study I'm reporting here today was done in the spring of 2013. We had two separate experiments. They were not combined in analysis or in execution. We had a sweet corn study with Incredible and a tomato study with Amelia, a large slicing tomato. This was all done at Crystal Springs, Mississippi, which is about 3 hours north of New Orleans, Louisiana, on the I-55 corridor. Soil is a loring silt loam. So relatively fine. There's some gravels in there, but it's a relatively fine soil, but a very good vegetable soil for our area. And in general, we used integrated pest management and the local production practices, which you would find in the big Southeastern Vegetable Production Guide and things like that, some of the MSU publications. Both studies were randomized complete block designs with four replications. And between the tiers, we put 20-foot buffers so there wouldn't be any movement of material between of nitrogen, especially between the tiers. And all the analysis was done with either ANOVA or mixed, depending on what we did. In the corn production, some specifics about the corn production. We planted the corn 1.5 inches deep with a push planter on flat ground. There were four row plots, 30 feet long, 42 inches between the rows, with an extra guard row on each end of the field to assure good pollination. And our target spacing was 10 inches in the row for the final plant stand. We hand harvested all the ears and in the middle rows, and we graded and counted the marketable ears and determined the width and length of 10 typical marketable ears out of that bunch to get a representation of that. In the tomatoes, we had a different type of plot, of course, with them. Single row plots, 20 feet long, 6 feet between the plots, 10 transplants per plot. Greenhouse raised transplants about 5 weeks old. Raised beds, the beds were about 6 inches high, 24 inches wide on top, not crowned, with a single drip tape under black polyethylene plastic. And for that, for the application of the material, we pre-bedded the rows, and then we applied our treatments, and then we did the final bedding and plastic laying and drip tape laying after that. The tomatoes were irrigated and side-dressed through a single drip line in each row, and the drip line was just under the soil surface. We hand-harvested all the fruit twice weekly from late June to late July. These were graded and counted and weighed into marketable and call fruit. We did not separate ones and twos. The four treatments, so everything was identical for all the treatments in each of the two studies, except for this. We had four treatments. We had no pre-plant fertilizer at all, but they got all the side dressing that everything else got through the drip or through hand application. We had a second treatment, which was pre-plant. This is the machine banding treatment of the composted broiler litter to supply 50 pounds per acre of available N 4 inches deep and 2 to 4 inches to the side of the row. Now, the 50 pounds per acre available was based on about a 35% assumption of availability during the crop cycle. So that's how we did that. Then on the third treatment was that same composted broiler litter, but applied, and you'll see it here in a few minutes, in a wide band over the top of the bed or along the corn rows in a wide band. In the corn rows, it was about eight. In both cases, the band ended up being about 18 inches wide. And then these were incorporated either by the bed or by tilling into the top 6 or 8 inches of the soil. And then our general control was triple 13, applied at 50 pounds per acre of N in wide bands over the rows, similar to how the compost broiler litter was applied. The corn also got 70 pounds of nitrogen as urea ammonium sulfate by hand at about the V6 stage. And the tomatoes got 25 pounds per acre as calcium nitrate 3 times from early flower through early harvest, about 2 week intervals is what that ended up being. Compost broiler litter, what is it before we go any further? Litter is a combination of the waste material from the chickens and the sawdust bedding that they live on in the houses. So they bring that together into a compost facility, they aerate it and stir it and turn it, and then they rest it for about 60 days in this operation, and it's applied as delivered. It ends up being a relatively fine, relatively dry, with some discernible pieces of sawdust still in it, not completely discernible, but they're obviously, it's not that powder that you get from worm compost or something like that. It's not all that well, not all of it is that well degraded. But it's dark and it doesn't smell like chickens anymore. So that's good. And the approximate analysis of this product is a 2-2-2 as it's delivered to the farm. So these are the cooperators. Tom is there. He's the tall man there. He's the ag engineer, and his technician is next to him. And there's the machine behind them, and let's go look at that a little closer. That's about a 100-horsepower tractor, 105 actually, I believe, that we used to pull it. Here's a little more close-up of that, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to use the pointer from here, but we'll try. Yeah, good. It works good. So you see a little bit of litter in the bottom there. There is a stirring mechanism that stirs the litter and keeps it from bridging or clumping in there. It is important that there's not too much moisture in the litter when you're doing this, and that it's not chunky. That's one of the problems they have with the litter. And with the compost, we had less of that problem. So, and then down in here, and you can't see this, and I don't have a good picture of this today, the litter comes out, or compost comes out of here and goes into an oblong circulating system that they call the PATS. And I'm not familiar enough with spreader machines to know exactly what that means, but evidently it's a common piece of these machines. And it basically unified, as it falls out of the hopper, it falls in a clumpy way. So this PATS kind of helps uniformly distribute it before it's dropped down into the lower parts here, which I'm going to talk about with another slide right here. Excuse me a minute. This has up to 4 banding conveyors on this that can drop out of the hopper area. And here's how the conveyors are here and here. And there's a little chute that would go down into behind the opener and in between these cultures here. And the compost or the litter would drop in there. All of this is highly adjustable. The width is adjustable. The number of chutes you have active is adjustable. And of course, the tractor speed is adjustable. So they've built a lot of flexibility into this prototype machine they have. The ground speed we used was 2 miles an hour. Someone talked about calibrating spreaders earlier. The first day they were there, last year, 2013, it took them 4 hours to calibrate the thing. But that's prototypes for you. This year, about 2 hours, wasn't so bad. But we found that it was applying a uniform rate, and they found that too with the litter, of course, too, that it's applying a uniform, apparently uniform stream of material outside, and they were able to get it with their weighing to document that they were right within 2 to 5% of where we wanted to be on almost every pass. So that's really good. The bands, and I'll show you that in a minute, were discernible when excavated, just like you'd see with a salt-based fertilizer. And the location of the bands are completely adjustable for depth and side-to-side location. So here we can kind of see the bands. And you see the yellow arrows on the screen. I can try and show you just with the red dot here. Let's see if I got, yeah. So they're, you know, they're there. And this is exciting because heretofore we haven't been able to do this with litter and compost. So this is kind of exciting. And this is how, this is just to show you how we did the wide row stuff. And how we did that with the fertilizer. So what happened to the crop? Well, first of all, if the data was not significant, of course, I'm not presenting the LSD, but where there's an LSD, it means the data was significant. And in this case, the length of the ears was lower in the control. Remember, the control had no pre-plant fertilizer, but had the same side dress fertilizer as everything else. Here's the machine banding. This is the one of interest here, and it's 100% comparable to the other two, to the more conventional treatment here and the wide row application that we were kind of simulating, just a broadcast over the row application of the compost. In the number of marketable ears, there was no significant difference in any of these. That number is not significant from either of that. So again, the machine's performing admirably on that. SPAD readings. In the early season, this hadn't gotten the pre-plant fertilizer, so it had a lower SPAD reading. But by the time, and we're on a silt loam soil, so by the time we got to the, this is the day before harvest, the 29th of June, or July rather. And by the time we got to the end, by the time we got to the blue lines here, there was no difference in the SPAD readings, which of course is a measure of the greenness of the leaf and would be kind of a proxy for the nitrogen status of the leaf. We have data on nitrogen status and things, and those are still in process. On the tomatoes, this year, 2014, on the same study, we have a great tomato crop, and the crows got our corn. Last year, we had a great corn crop, and the tomatoes had lots of challenges. So you'll see these yields are not phenomenal by any stretch. But there's some interesting data here again, and it confirms that the machine is delivering, has potential to deliver suitable fertility for the crop. So here's the control again. Marketable yields are lower in the control than they are. None of these three are significantly different from one another, but the control is significantly different than this one here, and actually not, all barely maybe there. And then on the culls, we had lots of culls, but again, the total yield, which is the purple, right? Blue and red make purple, so the purple LSD is the total of the bar. And you can see just, it's the control. The control is the one that doesn't perform. But the machine, the hand banding, and the conventional fertilizer all performed about the same on the tomato fruit, on the number. We have similar data on the weight. I don't even have to go through it, really. A very similar response there. Percent marketable wasn't affected at all by treatment. And the average weight of the marketable, while it appears that there's a big difference there, because our scale doesn't go all the way to zero, those numbers are not as nearly as profound as the graph would have you believe. So there's no significant difference there in the size of the fruit from any of the treatments. So the prototype of the organic banding machine applied uniform rates of compost broiler litter to flat or pre-bedded ground in our studies. That's exciting. The bands were readily discernible when excavated, so we could document that it was putting out a uniform band through the soil. The machine banding produced similar yields and quality to that seen in other treatments receiving the same amount of nutrients. And the SPAD readings were similar in all complete treatments in the corn, and only the control was different. And we're doing lots more work this year on nutrient uptake, soil tests, and movement of the soil, of the nutrients in the soil and away from the band. And that's the kind of thing that's going to need to be done in the future. But the machine holds lots of promise. And so I wanted to share that with you guys today. So thanks. Well, very good. That
awesome.
Great.